So the prayer that gets results, take a moment with me and go back in time. For some of us, it may be a little bit longer. For those of that have been in Science of Mind for a long time, go back to the, if you remember, the first time you used this thing called affirmative prayer. Maybe it was part of your Science of Mind 101 or your foundational class or some sort of a workshop, and you were instructed to demonstrate or to manifest something amazing and to find out that this thing really works. How does it work? So if you think back to that time, and maybe when that happened, you felt surprised. You felt delighted. You felt a little confused. You felt a little uncertain. But a myriad of emotions arises when you first realize, hey, prayer is responsive. And when I use affirmative prayer, this thing really works. And I know that in early classes, we talked about manifesting those four P's. You know, you wanted to manifest a palace, which was your home, a prince or a princess, which was your relationships, a position, which was your job, and good old parking places. Except in Florida, you don't do that because there are too many people with walkers and you don't want to take anybody else's parking space. But when you think back on that, or perhaps there's been a time since then when you had a demonstration to a prayer, an answer to a prayer that just blew your mind, and you thought, wow, isn't it amazing how the universe works? And in this chapter, Ernest Holmes talks about the prayer that gets results as the prayer of believing. But there's a lot more to it than that, because I read it and pondered it and read it and wondered and read it and meditated. And I went, aha, I'm not quite certain how I'm going to articulate this today because it's still brand new in my head. But this really flipped me out. Okay, so after teaching this for 40 years, I discovered something new about prayer. And I'm really thankful to Ernest for that. Because in Science of Mind, isn't it fabulous that it never is flat. It's never static. Like, no matter how long you've been here, it's never the same. You know, it's like at nighttime, Ernest comes in and writes new things in books. Or we have different practices or different experiences. And so even if you've been studying and practicing for a long time, there's always someplace else to go. And when I discovered that today, I was just overjoyed. So think about this. Science of Mind, affirmative prayer. You speak your word, you get an answer to that prayer. We call it a demonstration or a manifestation. That is great. If that was the only thing we contributed to the world, that would be an amazing gift. But we are so much more than that. When we speak our word and receive that answer, it doesn't stop there. When we receive that answer, there is a knowing of what that means. If we just received an answer, it would be like everything else in society. We would be what I call consumers of spirituality. We would be here to acquire things in spirituality. We would speak our words to get things. And when we get things, whatever those are, those four P's or whatever you might have going on in your world, that's great. But then our focus is on the thing. And when we have the thing, we're happy. And when we don't have the thing, we desire it. We, as the Buddhists would say, suffer from longing. So we get the thing. That's great. But Science of Mind is more than answered prayer and rainbows and hearts. Science of Mind is science. And when we get the thing, I know that many of us, like me, think that's great. But when someone shows me something or gives me something, the first words out of my mouth, my first reaction isn't necessarily, wow, that's great. My first reaction is often, how did you do that? Show me how you did that. So Ernest in this chapter says, aha, there is the thing behind the thing and how it works. And it's the science of mind. And that's why this just fascinated me, because I saw it in a different light. Now, when Connie and I work together, oftentimes I joke about the fact that science of mind is love and law. Love points the way, law makes the way possible. And I always say, Connie's the love. It's just a nice thing. That's Connie. Connie's the love. Everywhere she goes, she's the love. And then I come along and I'm the law. And I always joke with Connie. I say, they see you and they go, oh, here comes the law. And they see the law coming along and they go, oh, here's the law. Yay. People are not excited about the law. It's like in politics, you don't want to see how the sausage is made. People don't want to know about the law. They like the love. They like the feeling of that. But if you could know how to access that feeling all the time, the science behind that love, that would be fascinating. So Ernest tells us in this chapter a unique way of looking at love and law. So it starts out in the chapter where he says, we must believe that there is a power greater than we are to begin with. And that's one of our slogans in Science of Mind. There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it. Second part of that is, and when you are ready, it will use you. So he goes on to say, whether you call it God or divine principle, I don't care what you call it. There is something around us that receives the impress of our thought and reacts to it the way we think it. So the beginning of the idea of the law and the science behind that. He says, now affirmative prayer, prayer that gets results, is one that believes in itself. It believes in itself. We are surrounded by a principle, a law, an intelligence, a mind, a creativity that receives the impress of our thought. So we think a thought. It is already thunk. We thunk it. It's done. It's out into that law. It's demonstrating. But. It is the law of believing. That is the prayer that gets results, is believing. So is it the believing in itself, as Ernest said? Is it the believing in us as the one who speaks the word into the law and lets it go? Is it the believing in the natural order of the universe? What is that believing? We hear that so often. It is done unto you as you believe. Well, what does that actually mean? And in this chapter, Ernest takes us into a different direction. It is done unto us as we believe. Because when Ernest was still around, he asked, I'll use the word asked. He actually commanded, if you will. He asked us to demonstrate all the time. It wasn't enough to just go, oh, I feel good when this happens. It's up to you to put it in motion. So if you want to be a part of this, set something in motion. Release that law through the power of your consciousness. Now, after Ernest left, there was a lot of change and the idea of it is done unto you as you believe, because this thing came along in the late 60s and early 70s, which is popular psychology, and Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. And we became positive thinkers, which put a whole different spin on it is done unto you as you believe. But as one of my teachers, Dr. Dan Morgan, always told us, and when I'm working with prayer, I always remember, we are not mere positive thinkers. We are affirmative realizers. So what positive thinking did was took Ernest Holmes' teaching about love and law and prayer and set it down into the realm of human conditions. Ernest was really about consciousness. But when we look more at positive thinking in and of itself, it becomes more like that story of the little girl who walks into a room with a pile of manure and digs around because she knows there's a pony in there somewhere. And so it's putting gold on the mud Buddha. It's putting a positive spin on all of this instead of going back to the consciousness that sets the law in motion. And the love is the way that that gets done. So you have principle and you have power. And all of us in this room are here because we understand the holistic nature of those two things working together, principle and power. And the consciousness deepens and shifts when we move more into the principle and use it to release the power. So the way I saw it differently in articulating it differently, and I'm teaching visioning starting tomorrow, and I can't wait to start sharing the deeper truths of our teaching, is that oftentimes when we think about it is done unto you as you believe, it is your belief, because we still carry some residual of that power of positive thinking, we tend to think that if we could just believe more, if we just went deeper, if we just were more, we could get better results. And I don't want to teach that because I don't want anyone walking away from Science of Mind thinking, my faith wasn't big enough, my belief wasn't strong enough, because then you're dealing in willpower and not consciousness. So it is done unto you as you believe from the level of consciousness and not positive thinking, says that your belief is in the principle more than in the power. The law is going to do what the law is going to do. The law is impeccably neutral. It is released. It's just the servant of the spirit. It's the servant of the word. It doesn't need your belief in it. It just needs your understanding of how it works. Your belief has to deepen in the consciousness of the principle. So when you deepen in your consciousness of the principle, you move from saying the prayer that gets results to being the prayer that gets results. You become that prayer by identifying more with being that principle. In other words, the spirit of the living God made manifest as you, as me. So when someone says, here, take this, and instead of me going, wow, that's great, and I say, okay, well, how did you do that? Now I realize not only has it always been inside of me, but perhaps I have been focusing more on, okay, let's set this thing in motion, instead of completely identifying with every aspect of that prayer. And that prayer then has to get results because I am living as the vibration of the thing itself. And then the law must respond to that. The law responds to each and every one of us when we become the thing itself. So we are not acquiring, we are not consuming, we are not getting, we are letting go into that which is our natural state of being. So our affirmative prayers get answered. Yay! We contribute that to the world. Everyone has been gifted with something like that, and it's made a tremendous difference. But when you walk through the world as that prayer, as that teaching, as that light, it's completely different. It's no longer separate of love and then law. It's love as law and law as love. There's no longer any separation between those two things. So our work then becomes to deepen in that consciousness by identifying more with those principles of love and light and joy and abundance and well-being and all of that, so that it is the natural outpicturing of our internal state, our internal knowing, our internal connection with all that is. So for everyone that we who teach other people, or we who share, for all of us who share with other people what this teaching is, as Ernest said in the textbook, we don't teach people that you can get anything you want, but you can become everything there is. That's a very different thing. You are in that state of oneness, all that is. Because when you tug at a single thing in the tapestry of life, it's connected to everything. We are everything. We are connected to everything. We are everything. And I love to go back to Ernest, to that idea of it's all consciousness, and that's all that we are is consciousness. That's all that we are. So that we are not, in our moments of prayer, reaching out to some sort of a God or some sort of a deity or some sort of anything. We are reaching from that place because we are the place where God lives. So it isn't out there that we're striving to get through. It's what's in here that we're ready to release into the world. So the prayer that gets results, it is the prayer of believing. But it isn't the believing, as he says in here, in the thing itself. It isn't the prayer of believing in the thing alone. It's the prayer of believing in the principle which lies behind all things, which is all things. And everything that we see in the world, how do we see God in this? How do we see spirit in this? How do we see oneness in this? How do we see love in this? How do we see joy in this? We don't have anywhere to go. We don't have to get there. We are there. But we open up our hearts. There's that love. And we realize it's here now. So this chapter brought to me an amazing way to see how to articulate one of the great questions, you know, of everybody who comes to us is, well, I prayed and it didn't happen. So what went wrong? Why didn't I believe enough? What's wrong with me? Well, here, let's look at it this way. So for anyone who feels like let down, disappointed, uncertain, confused, wondering why things look the way they do in our individual life or in our collective life, let us return back to that consciousness, which is the cause of all things. Realize that it lives right here, and then call it forth as our reality. Everything we need is right here in this teaching. And God is good all the time. So the end of the chapter is the prayer and meditation. He ends all the chapters with a beautiful prayer and meditation. And this one says, as we ponder everybody whose names are in our prayer ministry, either the one for Sistal or the one for Sterling or the one we just carry inside of us, Ernest is thinking of all the people that have put in prayer requests. And he says, now they are going to accept the help. They're going to affirm with us that there is one life, that life is God, that life is their life right now, that life circulates through them. There is perfect circulation, assimilation, elimination. They are spiritual beings right now. All the power there is and all the presence there is flowing through them. There is only one heart in the universe. It has perfect rhythm. There is only circulation represented in the bloodstream. in this one life, there is nothing but good. And we know there is perfect elimination of everything that does not belong. Let us enjoy the perfect health of these people, knowing that through what we are doing now, whatever seems to be wrong will be removed. And whoever asks for guidance will receive it, because divine guidance belongs to everyone. So let this be so. Thank you, Ernest. Thank you all. And so it is.